You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, pleased to have you along. Hour two here. We've got in the news, bottom of the hour. Lots of updating to do right there. Schools, COVID, you know, all the things. We've got some Russell Wilson talk coming up. And something curious happened at the Australian Open.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I only paid attention to the very end of the Australian Open. So
that's a tennis tournament,
yes,
kids.
I did see that at the very end. And then outside of that, no, I could care less.
What, the Joker winning?
No,
is that
no,
what
no.
You're talking about?
I only paid attention to the female. I don't even know who won.
The Joker.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He won again.
No, I just watched, the big... The big culmination there with Serena, and it did not go so well.
A few NBA news and notes here. The New York Daily News is reporting that the Knicks are monitoring CJ McCollum's situation.
The Knicks?
Yeah. They want to improve their team because, well, they suck.
Yes.
Actually, they're not that bad.
Well, what is their...
Playing the Blazers a couple times this year, I've watched them going, that's a decent little team. They are...
They're
15 and 17. Yeah. No, they're 15 and 17.
Yeah. What did I say? 15 and 7?
Yeah.
My bad.
That would be incorrect.
Yes.
But they're not bad. Julius Randle, all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And
so who...
but still, I mean, they're not going anywhere with this roster.
Well, who would...
Who
would come back as far as...
I don't know. Look, they're not going to trade CJ McCollum, so it's a moot point. It was just that McCollum was mentioned in this story that, some guys that they have their eye on, but it did say, nobody knows what the status of CJ McCollum... Well, we can tell them what the status of CJ McCollum is. They're not going to trade him. But he was mentioned along with, Lonzo Ball and... Oladipo and Beal.
Okay.
So McCollum is suddenly getting thrown into this, maybe he's available.
Someone could pry him away.
Type of box. And I could see why, because of the emergence of Gary Trent.
Yeah,
a big thing.
Yeah, if you look on Blazer Twitter, CJ.
That's right.
It's whatever. We've moved on to Gary Trent.
Deal just texted us that in the last, did he say in the last 10 games, Gary Trent doesn't even have 20 rebounds? Is that what he said?
It wouldn't shock me. Look, the guy, every now and then he'll fall into 5 or 6 boards. There's no assists happening there. Look, Gary Trent does one thing.
Oh, he was asking the question.
Gary Trent shoots the ball, and he tries to play a little defense, although some people are questioning the metrics of just how good a defender he is.
Quick came on, and we'll get him back tomorrow, but he came on last week and said Gary Trent is one of the worst... I forget the analytic he used.
It was like a war for defense.
Yeah, and he was one of the worst in the league.
Yes. But you watch him,
and
he plays hard.
The context of that is it also matters who you're playing defense with at the time. And when that's Carmelo Anthony and Enes Kanter,
it's not necessarily
that's going to bring
fault.
His rating down. Although I mean, he's not a great defender.
Look, he averages two boards and one assist a game. 2-1.
He is active. He seems active.
Yes.
But he doesn't really pepper the stat sheet with anything other than some.
He gets right up on everybody, though.
Yeah.
He
chucks.
Suction cup defender.
He chucks it up.
Look, I understand the.
He's scrappy.
I don't know if you can pay another guy. If he has this sort of year and continues and he's shooting 40% from behind the arc, we've done the math on this. Whether you're a starter or you're the sixth man, if you're a shooter like that, the number for you is going to be somewhere in the, what, $16 to $20 million range. And if CJ's here, you can't run out a lineup with Gary Trent at the three, CJ and Dame.
No.
It'd be the worst defensive lineup in the NBA, and already you're pretty bad. So you can't do that.
I'd look to trade Trent.
So it goes down the road of, can you pay a backup? Can you pay Gary Trent? And will he be willing to do it to be happy in a six-man sort of role? Or do you deal him? What can you get for Gary Trent? Or there are some people, and I understand why, they say you're going to get a lot more from CJ in return. Can you get an elite all-star level front court player back for CJ? And you plug in Gary Trent, and yes, Gary Trent is not CJ McCollum, but he's still a what you would assume is a quality starter at the two. And if it balances out by getting you an elite front court player, I get that line of thinking, but the GM bro has been
he's not trading McCollum.
So reluctant to break up this duo.
And you would still have the undersized backcourt.
Yeah.
And Trent, as good as he's emerged here, he's not CJ McCollum.
No.
So you are weakening that position, and it's not getting any bigger at that position, and arguably not any better defensively. So I don't know. I would look to trade Trent. I think you've got a piece there that is developing into something somebody would want. I don't know what you could get for him, but if you're not going to break up Lillard and CJ, you trade Trent because you don't want to pay a backup that much money. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You've got,
and he's not starting at the three. By the way, CBS Sports was looking at McCollum. And I forget who the writer was, but he suggested that this is a fair deal. Now, you tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons.
Is that a fair deal?
Well, again, he suggested that was a fair deal.
No.
No what?
No.
Which way?
For Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is arguably the best defender in the league.
That's what I thought.
At his position.
I was like, dude, I would do that tomorrow if I'm the Blazers.
Yeah,
he was saying, oh, McCollum. But he was also saying, you know, look, McCollum, the way he was playing before he went down.
Sure.
He was sensational to the point where he felt like a McCollum for Simmons swap would be something that Philly would consider. And if they would, Jesus, get on the horn.
Yes. You get Ben Simmons distributing the ball. Dame can play off a little bit more.
Mm.
And you get a true elite defender that can play multiple positions, that can defend multiple positions.
Sexy.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I didn't think that was even an option. But if you're going to talk about other guards that you conceivably could go get, The list starts with Ben Simmons. Well, actually, it starts with Bradley Beal, and then maybe it ends with Ben Simmons.
Oladipo.
Yeah, but it
just worries me that Simmons can't shoot a lick. It's like so much of the Blazers' offense is predicated on having people who can shoot. Dame distributes.
My thing is, you don't need it, because if you put Ben Simmons, then the ball is in his hands. Dame can play off the ball.
You got a bunch
of guys that can shoot, and now you've got a guy that can break down a defense, one of the great passers in the game, and you instantly upgrade your defense significantly. Again, many people think he's the best guard defender in the league. That's a no-brainer. So, Beal, Simmons, yes. Outside of that, look, when CJ and Dame are healthy, you probably have the best backcourt in the NBA. You got to have something special there offered for you to even want to break that up. The only reason I would be intrigued by the Gary Trent thing plugging into the two is, again, if you could get an elite front court player, because yes, Dame and CJ are significantly better than Dame and Gary Trent, but Dame, Gary Trent, and then all-star front court player. Now, I think that there is a difference between that and Dame and CJ, no offense, but Zach Collins or Rocco or, you know, whoever else you got up there.
I did see an interesting stat today, NBA-wise, too. So there's an average of ranks of all of these, like, analytic stats that are supposed to be, like, MVP ratings, like RPM and stuff like that. And this guy, Andy Bailey, on Twitter did every player, and he put him in there, and, like, who was best based on all of these catch-alls, he called them. So, for example, Damian Lillard was 7th in the NBA.
This is based on all the analytics.
All the, like, the special analytics stuff, like BPM, RPM, Raptor, LeBron,
I guess is
one.
Raptor? I've heard that one a couple times.
I don't know what it is, but it's part of this equation. So, like, Jokic was 1, Giannis was 2, Joel Embiid 3, Steph, LeBron, Kawhi, Lillard. There is a Blazer who is the second worst player in the NBA based on all of these metrics.
Ooh, fun.
322 out of 323.
Oh, come on. Significant minutes, Blazer?
I don't know.
He's a bench guy.
He's a bench guy. Significant, questionable, but in a part of their plans.
Okay, Simons?
No, Simons is 305th.
He's part of their plans.
Jesus,
it's Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood is 322 out of 323 players in all of those catch-all statistics.
And we saw just last night, there are nights where you can't play Rodney Hood. It just...
Yeah,
you're like, well, this, you know, and the Achilles thing, it's just, there's nights it just doesn't work, and you sit him. And by the way, I looked it up. Gary Trent has 20 rebounds in his last 10 games.
No, he doesn't. Hey, I just looked it up.
He does too.
No, he doesn't.
I'm looking right here.
Hold on. Last 10 games, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. He has 15 boards in his last 10 games.
I'm looking here. Oh, okay. Sorry. I scrolled down. There was a 10 game stretch earlier where he had 20 boards. I had to scroll down. So if you go back earlier in the year, there was a 10 game stretch where he had 20 rebounds.
He has 15 boards in 20 games. Come on, Trent.
You would think at 6'5", 6'6", that you would just naturally fall into some rebounds, right?
He seems shorter than that. But,
well, he's listed at 6'5", right, I think?
Yeah, they've got him at 6'5" on here, but, I guess he is, but he kind of just seems shorter.
Look, we learned our lesson with the Gary Trent double-doubles, okay? It's not happening.
It is not happening. He is a one-trick pony.
There's a reason why you're getting, like, plus 4,000, 5,000, 6,000.
Already have a one-trick pony in Melo, who was scorching again last night.
Yeah. Look, his one trick when it's going.
Yeah,
that guy bails you out of a lot of situations.
I love it too. I love it when he wants. Whether he's like, dude, give me the damn ball. I am not missing. Oh. And that was last night. He was like, dude, get it over here.
Well, and you need it too, especially if Dame isn't, if Dame doesn't have it cooking, then.
And then they call timeout, and he finishes 0-for-5.
And it happens. Look, he's old and he's streaky. Look, you got to admit, Carmelo Anthony has been much better than you thought. Me and Mike, on the other hand. We were on Team Carmelo from the very get-go.
He's been much better than anyone thought because most people didn't. I mean, nobody wanted to give him a shot.
No.
Like, they thought he was cooked.
Yeah.
He is certainly not cooked.
Couldn't get on the floor in Houston.
But this is classic Melo, though. It's just all, he's just an elite scorer.
Yep.
Period.
And
but
not much else.
Other than that, but that's useful.
Well, yes. He single-handedly kept you in the game yesterday.
Well, it's useful when it's in this role. He's coming off the bench. That's great. When it's the main guy on the team, like it was for 30 years and, 30 years, 15, however many years he's been in the league.
Yeah.
It's not as good for your overall win-loss record. I mean, there's a reason why his teams weren't great.
I also saw this stat yesterday, and it goes against what we've been talking about. We all think, like, Melo as the catch-and-three shooter is better than Melo in the isolation post-up role. Statistically, that's not true. He's better in terms of the shots he hits and the amount that he helps the team when he's doing the iso post-ups than when he's in the catch and shoot three role.
How is that measured though?
I can pull it up for you. I just saw it again. But.
Well, he may be. Look, he has been great one on one. And he's kind of got the same moves over and over. But dude, he knocks him down,
especially with the second unit, right?
But I would still much rather have him in the catch and shoot role. If he's on my team.
Melo on catch and shoot is hitting 32% of his shots. On post-ups and isos, he's hitting 40% of his shots.
Okay, but some of that is inside the 3-point. I mean, some of those, he's closer. Yeah, yes. I mean, so...
I'm just saying...
Because his catch and shoot is mostly all going to be threes.
The narrative is that that's the only good Melo, is catch and shoot Melo. And, we keep jumping it into Melo, and, the offense stagnates. He's actually been better in that role than in catch and shoot threes.
I would say that's fair. I would just say that be careful, because when Melo is not on and he's like wants to be scorched earth mellow,
it's terrible.
It's atrocious.
Well, again, it's much like the Rodney Hood. There are games where you can't play Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, you got to sit his
and
ass.
And everyone's like watching, being like, why? Why is he in the game?
Sit him down.
Yes.
Because he won't stop on his own.
No, and he doesn't give you anything else. That's the nice part about like Covington and Jones Jr. is that even if it's not working, and I don't think Covington even scored a point last night, there's other ways they can affect the game, and Mello and Trent can't.
I think it's more like as the catch and shoot Mello, he's just going to be consistent. You trust that. You can knock that down. I think that, you know, 32%, I would hope that would go up, right?
And it's,
whereas the other Mello is quite streaky. He's streaky good, but he can also be streaky bad.
And I did see this year they were doing, you know, because we talked about Dame's clutch points or whatever. Mello has been very good in the fourth quarter this year as well. In clutch time, he's hit a lot of big shots for him. They're certainly not where they're at, and I know that's not, you know, you're not lighting the world on fire, but they are not in this position without Carmelo this year.
One more thing, Porzingis?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas?
Yeah, supposedly he's on the market.
Well, Cuban was talking to teams about him.
Yeah, Golden State, right, for Wiggins?
He has not been what we thought he would be.
Yeah.
No. And he's got some knee issues, but I wonder if they're worried about the Doncic-Porzingis combo. That said, I think, you know, it's kind of silly that sometimes these trade things come out, and it's like, well, if Mark Cuban just makes a call, and it gets back to Porzingis' agent that Porzingis was brought up in just a total exploratory thing.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're trying to trade him? No, it just means that he had a conversation. I think these conversations happen all the time. You know,
sure.
And we never know the context of how serious it is or how serious it isn't. I mean, I know it's juicy, but
it's just viewed as the ultimate sign. NBA players are the softest bunch, and when your name gets brought up, that turns into a whole thing.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, you don't want it to get out that you've been talking about any of your players. But I think Cuban, you know, he's got Luka Doncic right now, and he's got cheap Luka Doncic right now. And that is MVP-level player.
Yep.
He'd be crazy not to be on the phone talking to teams about improving his roster when he's about to, in the next couple of years, he's going to have to pay Doncic, you know, $30, $40 million.
Yep.
You know, so right now, Cuban, if he's smart, this is what I want Neil Olshey to do with Damian Lillard. If Cuban is smart, he is on the horn going, okay, what's it going to take to put something around Doncic that we can maybe make a run here? Because they've been disappointing this year
so far. We all thought that with Doncic and Porzingis that this was going to be like, oh my God, look out, this team in the West. And it hasn't been. Plus, Porzingis has missed time again. He's only played 17 games.
Yeah, his knees are... I don't know, man. He's a weird one.
I think you've got Doncic is the star, obviously, and I think Porzingis, there was a lot of high hopes. There's a reason why he's been moved, and I think there's a big giant cloud over whether or not he's even a true number two.
But it was a hell of a swinge.
Absolutely.
To get him, and now if he's able to turn that into another swinge to help with Doncic, I like that aggressiveness out of Cubes.
Yeah.
Marky Cubes.
As opposed to just sitting on your hand and, you know.
Yeah, growing a roster that in 10 years will
be the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, next is, what happened at the Australian Open? Also, I have the Larry Bird clip from Nolan Richardson at the Hall of Fame. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news is next. Updates on a lot of things. When high schools will be back in sesh, like in-person sesh.
I got a call today on over in Clark County.
How many people are still without power? And some other things.
Some things and stuff and stories and, you know.
That'll be next. Nolan Richardson, 40 Minutes of Hell. I was mentioning this clip earlier, and Mike pulled it for us.
Great Arkansas coach.
He was great.
Did they win a national title?
Yeah.
That Todd Day team, is that the squad?
They won. I think they only won one.
I think they won one.
But, God, they were good.
Yep.
He was good. Nolan Richardson. That was awesome. That was the heyday of college basketball for me, man, back when they were cooking and people were going crazy in that little field house of theirs. But anyway.
It's like they won the 1994.
And that was like Corliss Williamson and all those dudes. Big fat Corliss Williamson.
Remember when he was going to dominate the world and no.
Yeah, didn't work out.
No, it did not.
Anyway, we were talking about Jokic and athletes that don't look like athletes. This was Nolan Richardson at the Basketball Hall of Fame ceremonies.
And we're big rivalries, so I'm hoping that Indiana State will beat New Mexico State. And I'm listening to the radio, and I have no clue of the players on either team. All of a sudden, this name keeps coming. Bird. He goes to the right. Bird. He makes the shot. Bird. I said, damn, who is Bird? Bird. You know, here's Bird. And Bird this. And Bird. Oh, did you see the pass that Bird made? I can't see it, but I'm just trying to imagine it. And I, when the time I got to the end, I said, damn, that brother can play. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When I got the newspaper the next morning and saw Larry's picture, I said, damn.
And Larry Bird was in the audience. Of course, laughing.
Well, not really. He looked kind of strange. They kept cutting to him, and he was just, like, staring at him.
Larry Bird always looks strange. He's got a blonde mustache, and that's just never a good look for anybody.
Magic Johnson was behind him cackling.
I said, damn. All right, so Aussie Open tennis tournament. I didn't see a lick of it.
I didn't see any of the men's. I watched the Serena Williams Osaka final, and dude, she mopped the floor with her. And then, you know, because that was, you know, Serena was in the whole GOAT conversation, and not that this, you know, means anything, but as far as her legacy goes, but I was, it wasn't close. She got dominated, and then I was kind of reading afterwards where this is now the second time this has happened, and most people think that just at this point in her career, she just doesn't have the game.
How old is she?
To match up with her. Serena? I think Serena's in her late 30s.
Late 30s?
Yeah, I think she's like 36, 37.
Oh my God.
Let me look this up. Blip, blip, blip.
How old's Venus now?
She's 39.
Serena is 39.
Serena's
39.
Boy,
that makes me feel old.
Yeah.
And how old's Venus?
She's got to be 40 something then.
Well, yeah, she's older.
Well, she's the older one, so, you know.
Anyway.
But Osaka, I think, is like, she's
yeah, she's young.
She's young. And she is the,
God, 39.
She's the future of tennis. I mean, yeah, she's only 23. You know, she won't probably doesn't go on to be Serena Williams, but the torch has certainly been passed. Everyone kept like, who's the next great tennis player? Well, there she is. If you watched her play, she is amazing.
So Novak Djokovic won the men's side.
Yeah.
And I saw this story, so I didn't see any of it, but I saw this story that the deputy prime minister has deemed the fans' behavior, or as they're called, their spectators, mm-hmm. He has deemed them disgusting.
Oh.
And un-Australian.
What exactly is disgusting and un-Australian about the fans?
Well, it says here that Jane Herlika, who is the president of Tennis Australia, was heckled when she began referring to the COVID-19 vaccination before awarding Novak Djokovic his ninth Australian Open trophy in Melbourne.
Okay.
Loud boos could be heard from across the stands at the arena on Sunday as she said, quote, with vaccinations on the way, rolling out across the world, it is now a time of optimism and hope for the future, end quote.
Why did she get booed for that?
Well, this was going to be my question. I thought you could answer that.
I'm confused and frightened.
I know. What is that about?
I don't know. You would think that that's a very positive. If you told me that someone was going to get booed and you gave me a bunch of statements, I think I would choose that last to boo.
And what's that about? What's that say about Australia? Like, what
is Australia?
What's going on there?
Is Australia anti-vaccine? Is that do they not are they like not buying the whole corona thing?
The jeers continued as she praised the efforts of the state of Victoria government for organizing the tournament under extremely difficult circumstances. The incident coincides with the start of Australia's vaccine rollout, which began Sunday.
I'm guessing that there's something about the vaccine rollout that they're not particularly thrilled about.
Yeah,
there.
That's weird.
Or
I feel
they
like
don't like their government or something.
Yeah,
or?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't like her.
Well, apparently it's very un-Australian.
Very weird
to be booing. Although, you know, that is kind of a weird
thing.
That's
a weird thing to boo.
It is a weird thing to
so
boo.
There's probably more there.
Although you're right, maybe it's just like Roger Goodell could come on board and be like Marines and puppies in America, and people would still boo him.
Puppies, boo.
Yeah. Like maybe just boo him. So maybe this maybe this gal just is, you know, a see you next Tuesday, and everyone boos her and hates her.
Right. They probably just hate her.
Oh, that's the only thing I can think of. Either that, or a lot of Australians are like from Philadelphia, because Philadelphia will boo anything. I mean, they booed Santa.
Is it a bit to just boo the Tennis Australia president
it's possible
hand out the trophy? I mean, I don't know.
That just seems like
a weird one.
Seems like a very strange thing to boo. I'm with you.
All right, in the news is next. Here's the Jewish space laser.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Beautiful day. Hot five coming up, 20 minutes. Sports news. Talk some Russell Wilson coming up as well. Right now, it is February 24, 2021. It is time for In the News, Army Noted Newsman. Hello. Thank you. Excuse me. It is National Tortilla Chip Day.
Oh, now that's delightful.
Can you just eat plain tortilla chips? Do you like to do that?
Absolutely.
Do you?
I get addicted to them.
I can.
I can too, but I really want to pull something out of the fridge and dip it.
Yes, I need some sort of salsa, a guac.
So you can eat it like...
Yes.
So if you have a bag of tortilla chips in the...
I did it the other day.
Really? You just eat them?
Yeah, so I did buy dips for it, right? The girlfriend was over and we got ourselves some Juanitas and we got a couple of dips. When the dips were out, you still had half of the chip bag left. So, you know, 2 days later, I was like, oh, I'm going to have some tortilla chips. And I just found myself just eating them. They're so good. See, to me, that is the second most likely I will eat an entire bag without noticing it chip. Number tortillas. One for me is regular Ruffles. Number two is tortilla chips. I will just not stop eating them and then be, oh my God, I just had 17 servings of these chips.
I can do that with any chip.
I'm going to bifurcate. Yeah, chips are, they're dangerous.
They just go down.
Yeah. I'm going to bifurcate, though. I will not eat plain tortilla chips at home. Not going to happen. But warm tortilla chips at a Mexican restaurant where you got like that,
you know, seven bowls sent to your table.
I love that.
And I don't care whether there's anything with it or not. I'll just shove those right in my fat face. But at home, no, just a regular tortilla chip. It's a vehicle for some sort of dip. Otherwise, get out of here.
Here's a hot take from a listener who texts in that peanut butter is great on tortilla chips. Can you confirm that?
No.
I cannot either.
I can't.
Peanut butter is great on most things, so it's probably true.
You know what is good on a tortilla chip, though? Get some cream cheese and sweet chili sauce.
Mmm.
You know, like the Malploy, like sweet chili sauce?
Yeah.
Throw that, just put a block of the like Philadelphia cream cheese down, throw some of that sweet chili on top of it, and then just kind of, you know, mash it up a little bit. Give that a whirl in some tortilla chips. You're welcome.
I was very depressed to find out when I moved to my new neighborhood, none of the grocery stores have that sweet chili sauce.
Really?
Yeah, I asked once because that was all I would eat for that type of sauce. And they said, yeah, we just don't get it distributed up here.
That's ridiculous.
And it's literally I live in the same town. So I don't know. So I'm stuck with generic, like, Frank's sweet chili sauce right now.
It's all about the Malploy.
It is also National Trading Card Day. We're down to...
You know the trading card industry right now? It's like, booming. At an all-time high. If you've got cards, now's the time to sell them. And it's a local company here in Portland that I guess is like the hub of it all. It's out like by Bridgeport Village. There's a company that has it's like a Fort Knox vault. There's millions of dollars worth of cards. Like that's where you send them when you want a deal. They're like a go-between, or they'll house your really expensive cards for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because if you got a card that's worth like 800 grand, or, you know...
My George Brett rookie.
Yeah, clearly. And so this place has this big kick-ass vault, and you can send it there, and they'll either hold on to it for you, or they will act as like the courier, like when you sell it to different places.
Interesting. That's local, a good idea.
Yeah, local company.
Because a lot of people just have baseball cards like in their closet and stuff.
Exactly. But now like people are getting them graded and they're like, oh, crap, that card I have is worth 20 G's.
We're down to 4,300 individuals without power or homes, I should say.
That's good.
So that's pretty good. But they are saying that it could be up to 8 days for everyone to get it back. Basically, the
still
ones.
Still almost 5,000 people, which is crazy.
It is crazy. Most of the people are south and east of Portland.
We're out in the sticks.
Well, not necessarily the sticks, but just the burbs, and then maybe even a little further. But just southeast, for some reason, has had some They've had a tougher time getting their power back. Walgreens is now offering vaccines if you qualify. Vaccines for COVID.
Yes, I was going to say. Because there's other vaccines there. You can get the flu shot.
Starting Tuesday, you can request an appointment at Walgreens to get a shot if you meet the state guidelines. That is not you.
No.
Although Walgreens...
In the state of Washington, it could be me if I lived in a multi-generational house, which I don't.
Oh.
Yeah, they're making an exception. If you live with, like,
really?
The
olds. Oh, if you live with the olds, yeah.
You live with the
That's
olds.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you don't, so F you. Walgreens says supplies are still very low, so appointments will be limited. Starting Thursday, Safeway and Albertsons locations will start opening up for vaccine appointments. So that's good. We're getting there, Jason.
Yeah. And isn't the Johnson & Johnson one, right? Isn't that getting ready to roll out now, too?
It is on the way.
So.
It is on the way.
We're at the back end of this. There shouldn't be any more shutdowns, only roll forwards.
Would you like a PPS school timeline? Portland Public Schools timeline?
Oh, yes, please.
Middle and high school students. They are saying that middle school and high school students at Portland Public Schools could be back in school by mid-April.
Okay. That's good. So we're what, a month and a half away?
Oh, mid-April? Yeah, a month
and
a half.
We're next week's. Yeah. Next week's March.
Yeah, that's within 7 weeks, 7-8 weeks. That's good.
Now, I know in Clark County, Evergreen School District, which is the biggest one, the high schools are starting next week. They're going back to the hybrid learning. So we got the update today.
What does that mean? Hybrid learning. What does that mean?
Yeah, like, so the
you're half in, half out.
Yeah, there's like groups. So like they're doing. I think it's
so it's just fewer kids.
Yeah. So if it's like hybrid, if you're hybrid A, you go like Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday, and then next week you'll just go Monday, Wednesday, and then the B group will go Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. My daughter's just doing remote. She just is like, I'll see you next year. I'll see you next year. Because you don't have to. You can opt out and keep doing remote learning. But yeah, their high schools are starting Monday with the hybrid. And then the elementaries, I think, are already...
Yeah, they're trying to get going.
They're already back and rolling.
Well, we knew the COVID restriction armed showdown was going to happen eventually, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it happened in Oregon. And we will get to that story next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Somebody texts and says, you know, if we no longer have shutdowns, what will Governor Brown's new nickname be? Because we call her Shutdown Brown.
Yeah. Well, that's something like much like the Civil War. That name will come with time.
What about Cutdown Brown? And she starts like chopping down trees.
Is she? I don't think.
Or something.
I don't think she'd be. Well, you.
I have a tree she could chop down.
I was going to say cut down. You could say like the police budget or whatever.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. Cutdown Brown. What about Touchdown Brown? Maybe she starts running tuds, you know?
She run the touchdown play? She a big sports fan, is she?
If she allows college football betting, she could be Touchdown Brown.
Touchdown Brown,
oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, just a couple of ideas there. This is in the news for February
24, 2021. There you go.
There is a Coast restaurant that has been fined $17,800 for violating the indoor dining restrictions. It's a place called The New Blue Hen.
Can't, as opposed to The Old Blue Hen?
Well, they do business as Little Brown Hen, but I don't know why the distinction there. But
okay. Where is this at?
It's in Florence.
Okay.
And they allowed indoor dining in December and January. Right, we were right in the thick of all this stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, come on in.
Bring it on.
Well, OSHA caught him and fined him, but apparently the OSHA, I don't know, the OSHA inspectors or the agents from OSHA, I don't know what they're called, the OSHA people.
Sure. How about just OSHA?
The inspectors.
Yeah.
They were met when they went to the Little Brown Hen. This is back on January 4th. They were met with armed...
Of course.
...guards.
Yeah, come and take my business, that sort of thing.
It was a standoff.
Yeah. How'd that go over?
Well, nothing happened, but no. They did get fined $18,000. Well, no, yeah, the OSHA people aren't coming in there with guns.
Well, I just wonder, like, is that... That's...
You're, I'm guessing that, OSHA backs down at that point
I understand,
like,
but how is that legal?
Well, it's not. You can't do that.
Well, some people are going to say, like, well, it's illegal to shut him down, but can you shoo away? Like, if the meter guy comes to my house and I don't like him, can I pull a shotgun and be like, you get, I don't respect your government authority?
That does seem to be one tactic people are using these days.
I was watching HBO Real Sports last night. I don't know if you saw the new episode, but they were talking about the youth sports business, like in California.
Yeah.
Booming.
What do you mean?
And, like, well, like all they've had tournaments throughout this whole thing with thousands upon thousands of people, and it's in violation of every California rule.
Oh, I got you.
But they're still going on.
Yeah, they don't care.
I'm like, is there any teeth?
Well, it's like if you get enough people that are like, you know what, F it. Can they really do much about it? You know, like honestly, like if you just had a bunch of youth leagues that just said, you know what, screw it, we're gonna play.
Yeah.
Enough of them. Can they really? I mean, what are they going to do?
Watch that piece if you have HBO. Watch the HBO Real Sports piece. And it's kind of like I was under the impression that California was completely shut down, right? Like for sports, that wasn't happening. Turns out as far as the youth sports goes, yeah, that wasn't shut down. That thing was alive and well. And the extent at which parents were willing to go to get their kids to play was it's quite interesting.
Oh, that's certainly a thing.
Yeah, it is. All under the guise of the, we need this for our mental health.
When, we must. Yes.
I think it was more about you. The agencies needed it for their bottom line, and I think parents just want to live vicariously through their kids.
Hey, do you remember the dude who was shooting at cars on the freeway down in Medford or Roseburg?
I do remember that.
Yeah, that guy was from Roseburg. His name is Kenneth Ayers. He's 49. He pled guilty to 3 counts of attempted murder and 5 counts of unlawful use of a weapon. There were some other charges in there.
Sure.
I guess they're saying that he was shooting at cars. He's a UPS driver. He was shooting at cars from his UPS vehicle.
Oh.
Yes. He was in his Browns.
Well.
Firing off some rounds at cars on I-5 in Medford.
Let me ask you, is that genius because no one would expect it coming from the UPS, or is that you're the world's dumbest person because it's drawing attention because you're in a big brown truck?
I'm going to go ladder, Bob.
So that was interesting. Like, hey,
he didn't kill anyone, but there was a woman who got hit in the shoulder.
Who's shooting at us? Clearly not the UPS guy. Turns out he was. Now, I remember this. Did we ever figure out why? He was shooting at people?
They say no motive for the shootings have been released. He's just look at his mugshot.
He's just a wackadoo.
He's a weirdo.
What's his name?
His name's Kenneth Ayers. A-Y-E-R-S. Yeah. I mean, look at that guy.
Wow.
And tell me he isn't shooting at cars on freeways.
That's the least surprising mugshot of all time. Yeah. I could have just taken one look at Kenneth and be like, yeah, he's up to something. Arrest him. Nice mullet, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they got him. That threat is no more. At least not from him.
Yeah.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. All the top news of the day. The NBA second half schedule is released. Did the Blazers have it hard? Do they have it easy? We're going to tell you. And would the Seahawks really trade Russell Wilson? That's coming up next hour on The Fan.